Husker Doc Talk Podcast 2018, Episode 2. It's starting to warm up. And I'm not talking just about the weather, folks. We're talking football is right around the corner. We are a couple of weeks away from Big Ten Media Days. In fact, former Husker great and now College Football Hall of Famer Aaron Taylor is going to be a guest at the Big Ten kickoff luncheon in Chicago. How weird do you think that's got to be? Guy in the Big 12 going to represent the Big Ten. I'm Travis Justice, joined by the man who is, with his Twitter account, trying to put an end to the talk of social medicine. It's Dr. Rob Zadiska.
I get a little, you know, there's not a ton of political things that really get me fired up. That's one of them.
Though. Social medicine. It's funny to watch you on Twitter, and you can follow Dr. Rob on Twitter at Doc Talk Sports. It's fun to watch people argue with the doctor about medicine.
The thing that kills me is I got people, okay, I've actually practiced medicine not in the United States before. So I've been to other countries. I know how this works. I know a lot of people who live and practice and work within the medical community in other countries. Don't tell me how it is in other countries. I've been to other countries.
See, the doctor's getting fired up. If you want some of this great Twitter commentary, you can always go online at Doc Talk Sports. And just tonight before he got here, he went after former Husker great Anna DeForge and her grammar.
Oh, I wasn't trying to be mean. She was I'll tell you what. She might have been, in my opinion, in as good as she was,
yeah,
almost kind of maybe one of the more underrated great women basketball players for Nebraska.
Do you think
she was unbelievable?
I mean, you look at the history
of Nebraska. I just heard one of those, like, she's talking about the mind and mental strength,
yes,
and mental toughness, and I'm like, yeah, you know, you're talking about the mind, but you spelled your wrong.
Well,
sorry.
She didn't spell your wrong. She used the wrong your in a sentence.
Well, true.
You know, I'm just digging
in. Fine.
Hey,
whatevs.
I have got some great news before we start this Husker Doc Talk podcast presented by the Remington Trophy. And just right before we hit record, I got confirmation, Dr. Rob, that all our partners are back on board for 2018. So that means Dave Remington and the Remington Trophy, of course, which this podcast is presented by.
Always good.
Chad at Ticket Express is on for another season.
Love Chad.
Chad's the best. He's been busy. I know he had a busy College World Series. I know he was actually doing a lot with Hamilton in Des Moines. Those tickets were selling left and right. And then I know he's going to be busy with Husker football season because everybody's excited about Husker football season. Scotty from Husker Hounds back on board. You know, a couple weeks ago when we thought we were going to record, he was like going to give away gift certificates. I never called him and said, hey, we're going to give away, we're going to record tonight. But it sounds like as the season goes on, Scotty's going to be giving away some Husker gift certificates.
Okay, that would be really cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And, I mean, do it like a send questions in kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like the top two questions every night.
Yeah, we could do that. You know, I mean, we could do it either follow on Twitter or social media. There's a number of things we can do. And just another one right before we went on the air, the Infusion Brewing Company says, you know what? We're back on board for another season. So that means we're going to be drinking Infusion beer.
I got to be honest with you. That one does not disappoint me.
Well, are you ready for this? So I was talking to Danielle at Infusion Brewing, and I said, hey, is there any way we could come out late July, early August, sit down with maybe your brewers and come up with a Doc Talk brew we could sell during the season and maybe benefiting, you know, a portion of those proceeds benefit the Boomer Esiason Foundation and the Remington Trophy. So we might have our own brew, maybe, on tap at the Infusion Brewing Company.
Okay, that would kick ass.
That would
kick ass.
What
are we going to call this?
I don't know. We'll have to put our creative minds together.
I might want to leave it up to them, but they seem smarter than me.
How's your summer going, buddy?
It's good. You know what? It's busier than heck. I mean, it's kind of the standard stuff. A little bit of work and then a lot of chasing the kids around. So,
yeah.
Although we're kind of finishing up, though. We've got the baseball season ended about a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
So my son's team wrapped up their season. They won their end of season tournament. And number one's always a good spot to finish. But a group of kids who kind of the core group's been together 9 years.
No kidding.
Yeah, they all started in kindergarten with Coach Pitch.
Wow.
So then we wrap up swim team this week. Then we got kind of that, it's sort of that end of summer, like that last 3-4 weeks of summer, and then they start school again.
You know, the amazing thing is I'm looking right now at our podcast page. The last time we recorded was April 28th, and people may not believe this, but you and I haven't seen each other since that date. We've talked a little bit. We've been on the phone, and we have no, we have seen each other at Owen's graduation. I'm sorry.
We did.
Totally forgot about that. So,
well, we like text and
yeah.
stuff all the
so,
time.
So, you know, right? Ever since that date, my daughter graduated college. My son graduated Creighton Preparatory High School. And now he is a month away, Rob. We're rock chalking it, baby.
Oh, my God.
We are rock chalking it.
I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to kid you here. The, I don't know what's more annoying.
Rock Chalk Jayhawk?
Hawkeye Travis or Jayhawk Travis?
You know,
there's a hawk in there either way. Maybe that's the common theme in this.
So tell me if you think I'm wrong here. So my radio show in Des Moines that I do every day on 1460 KXNO, I have started to just really piss Iowa State fans off because every day I'm doing Rock Chalk.
And I thought you were kind of okay with Iowa State.
I am, but I'm doing it, A, to be kind of an ass. But
you, wait, you?
But two, here's my excuse. If I'm going to give money to the University of Kansas for the next 4 years, I'm going on board.
You want to get something out of this.
Yeah, I'm going on board. I will be
And that means pissing off Iowa State basketball.
I will be a bandwagoner for 4 years, all right? Now, I did take Owen to see a game at Fog Allen Fieldhouse last year, and let me tell you, you haven't lived until you've seen a basketball game.
You did tell me. You said if... It's one of the great places to go watch a college football.
You know how Nebraska fans...
Or a college basketball game.
And you know how Nebraska fans, and I don't disagree with this, say Memorial Stadium is one of the best places to watch college football. I think you could put Notre Dame, Nebraska, College Station, Alabama. It's one of the top five places to watch college football.
Fog Allen is for basketball.
Yeah, I mean it's probably one or two. It's either Cameron Indoor or Fog Allen.
Yeah,
you know, and that's what's cool about it. So yeah, I'll be rock chalking it. So maybe we'll back off the Hawkeye talk a little bit. No, because we can't because Kansas football is bad. And now that
nobody. Kansas doesn't care about Kansas football.
They didn't have a spring game because they didn't have enough players. Honest to God, truth. They did not have a spring game.
I actually did not know that.
Okay, too many of them got hurt. And now that Jeff Long, who was fired at Arkansas, former chair of the College Football Playoff Committee, is the athletic director at KU, you got to believe that Beatty's going to get fired and they're going to get another coach again at KU. So it's going to be
what? Did Bielema land anywhere?
No. I don't think he's going to for a while. I mean, he should have never left Wisconsin. He had a good thing going there.
I think there seems to be a common theme here. Coaches do incredibly well at Wisconsin, leave, and then you find out, oh, it's Barry's system at Wisconsin. It's not the coaches.
Yeah.
Although I think Paul Chryst is actually a really, really good coach. But part of what makes him good is he understands what works. And
what works? Great offensive lineman, right? I mean,
large men.
In case you're wondering, before we really start diving in deep to this podcast, yes, we are drinking tonight. We did not pick up any Infusion Brewing Company beer, but Rob did bring a 6-pack of Rupture from Odell Brewing Company out of Fort Collins, Colorado.
If I'm not drinking Infusion, I kind of like Odell's. They got a nice selection. I mean.
But people worry because if they don't hear we're drinking, I think they get disappointed because they'd love to hear you shit-faced by the end of this hour.
I don't know about shit face, but
loose morals will be coming in 2018. All right, that's all I know.
Hey, you do realize I still only remember maybe like 1/3 of that podcast.
So Big Ten Media Day is a couple weeks away, and actually Big 12 Media Days are coming up next week. And the reason I'm transitioning into this is that today the Big 12 released its preseason all conference teams by the media. And I like Lee Barfneck from the Omaha World Herald a lot. But he had a tweet out there saying, hey, Big Ten, this is how you do it. Big Ten fail. And the fact that the Big Ten doesn't release a preseason all team, does not do a preseason poll. They let like the Cleveland Plains Dealer or the Columbus Dispatch do it. The conference doesn't do it. And I tweeted back at Lee, and I never heard back from him. I said, why is it necessary? I mean, why is a preseason all-conference team necessary? Because to me, they're nothing more than a watch list. There's if you don't make all-conference, are you a failure?
As much as I don't always like agreeing with you, I think you're right.
It's kind of like the AP preseason top 25.
It was. I always kind of won. Do you know who got it right? The college football playoff poll.
They did.
Let's wait a month and a half into the season, then we'll release.
And
our
you
poll.
Know what they really wanted to do? They didn't want to release it till the last week, but ESPN said we need something for television. We need to build something up.
It's nice to have a little bit
to kind of see what you have to do.
I get it. You want kind of that teaser stuff. But from a player standpoint, with the preseason all conference polls, I always thought those might have been some of the most absolutely worthless things you ever saw.
Yeah, because I mean, it got people excited. Here's what they're good for. I think media guys like to vote in them, and then it gives them something to write about for the next couple of weeks. Right?
It does, but oh my God, it tends to be some of the most inaccurate.
Well, I asked Dave,
stuff you ever saw.
We asked Dave Remington, and Dave puts out a watch list for the Remington Trophy, right? I go, and he'll be the first one to say, I put out a watch list because I have to put out a watch list.
But he'll even tell you, because we asked him, I think he said he takes it's basically 80% of all D1 centers.
Yes. So when we do
make the watch list.
Yeah, so what's the point in that? So we can say the New Mexico State Center made the Remington Trophy
list.
Yeah,
there's guys like Alex Lewis and Nick Gates were on the Outland watch list, for God's sake.
Yeah, so what is a watch list? What is a preseason all-conference team? What does a preseason poll actually mean? Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean a damn thing. So
it's something for the media to do. If you're really serious about the sport, it just doesn't really do anything. There's some stuff that where you look at, for instance, the Sports Illustrated preseason football poll is a great example. I don't know if there has ever been a more inaccurate poll that I've ever seen than Sports Illustrated's. It's asinine how far off it is. And most of them do tend to be fairly far off. It's easy if you want to put Alabama in your top three, great.
Yeah. You want to put Ohio State there, fine.
Yeah, everybody's going to do that. But when you kind of get down to the nuts and bolts of it, it's amazing how inaccurate they are. The preseason all-conference teams. Now, if you've got a returning all-conference guy, I mean, you look at the Allen brothers at Michigan State. Yeah, they're going to make it.
Yeah.
You go back to the 1990s. Yeah, Zach Wiegert, who was first team all-conference as a sophomore. Yeah, pretty good bet he's going to make it as a junior and senior. There's picks like that. But I mean, the rest of them,
it's a crapshoot.
It's a complete crapshoot.
And if Lee is listening to this, Lee, I didn't mean any disrespect in the question, because I did. I asked him what's so vital about these things, and he never answered me back because I don't know the point of them. And to say it's a Big Ten fail, to say we're not going to do a preseason.
Yeah,
media
I don't think
poll,
it's a Big Ten fail. It's just you're giving the media something to write about.
Yes, that's true.
That's it.
Yeah,
it's nothing other than that.
You're giving us content, and we get a vote in a poll and make it seem like our voice was heard. So I get that, but to me, I can fill enough content. You and I have probably talked for a full hour tonight, and we don't need a preseason media poll. I do a radio show.
I don't want to know about Big Ten preseason all conference guests. I want to. Do you know what I want to see? I want to see a writer talking about, hey, is Nebraska going to get 5 wins or 7 wins?
Or do they get more than that?
Do they get more? I think that's a little unrealistic.
Do you really? You do.
Yeah, but at the side, I know guys within the program right now too.
Yeah.
And even
what are you hearing? Without naming names, what are you hearing?
Well, and this isn't. I'm not. I mean, I actually talked to. I talked to a number of guys who are there now. I mean, Matt Davison. I've spoken with Scott. I'm not like beer drinking buddies with the guy. Scott's trying to temper expectations a bit. I think he and the rest of the coaching staff were a little surprised at the lack of talent. I think the whole Calabrasca thing, you and I talked about this last month. Yeah. Jeez, that was 2 months ago.
Yeah, it was April.
Back in April. The whole Calabrasca thing was smoke and mirrors. It really was. They got some very good wide receivers out of it. I will give you that. beyond that, okay, even I mean, we've talked, I don't know how many times about the lack of talent, in my opinion, at the running back spot.
Yeah.
Now, again, when I was there, it was Calvin Jones and Lawrence Phillips. And by the time you got down to the third and fourth and fifth string guys, that was your Damon Bennings and Clinton Childs, who are NFL guys. So that's you're looking at Nebraska's running back roster right now. I mean, if Bell's healthy and eligible, awesome. But after that, do you want to see another season of Divine Azigbo? And he was probably out of the guy the last few years, my favorite, but that's because there wasn't anybody else.
Yeah.
Wilbon has, okay, you got a great 40 time. Whenever you ever sat there going, oh my God, thank God we got Wilbon to bail us out of this game. Just not going to happen. Massive holes on the offensive line. You and I talked a little bit this afternoon when we were trading some messages about players who've left the program.
Oh, the two tight ends that are gone.
I don't know if it's of any major consequence.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
I think both of them kind of felt like they were not a good fit for Frost's system. I don't know if they're going to transfer.
How about the offensive lineman? What, Brokop?
He actually said he's staying at Nebraska to finish school.
Just not play?
That's what he's saying right now. I think he's a guy who, you know, it's a big jump from high school to college football. A lot really gets made about that jump from college football to the NFL. I think it's an easier jump from college football to the NFL. I think the big jump, the truly difficult jump, is from high school to college. And you look at just from a numbers standpoint, the NFL teams are only 50-some players. Was it 53 guys on the active roster? And then you've got inactive guys on the roster, and then you've got the practice squad guys. So all told, you got somewhere between 60 and 65 guys on an NFL team. You've got well over 100 on most Division I college teams. Think about the number of guys that make up a college football team that never really pan out.
Well, what's he want to get
the vast majority of them, and so a guy like Brokop's, like a lot of these guys, I think he got there and realized, boy, you know what? I'm probably never really going to see the field.
Yeah.
And now you've got a slew of some of these younger guys coming up who are probably going to get a lot of playing time, and he knows he's not. And do you put that pounding on your body and not play it out? Now, when I was in school down there, that was one of those things you would. But I think he's looking at the situation going, this is a massive, massive amount of effort, which leads into another point. But it's a massive amount of effort without a lot of payoff for it.
So what's your other point then?
My other point is I think Nebraska's had sort of a effort stagnation over the last several years.
You're talking about guys who don't work hard.
Guys who don't work hard, guys who don't work out, where it wasn't expected. You know, people ask me about weight training, the training we did, the work ethic when I was down there. There were nights we would literally nearly come to blows with the strength coaches.
Because you tell the story almost every time, but I
know, think it's because good. They wanted to close the weight room and we wouldn't leave. I tell it often, but it makes a good point about the mindset that we had back in the 1980s, the 1990s, and it's what made those teams really good. You were never done working. Now you've got a group of guys that they think they might have worked hard. They did what the coaches told them to do. But there's this incredible sense of above and beyond that just doesn't exist at all down there. And when I was down there, above and beyond was the mundane routine. And that's just, that mindset just does not exist down there. I apologize. Did not exist until Frost hit the door.
Okay.
And now I think it's that mindset. There's a lot of guys that kind of mindset is going to chase away. There's a lot of people who don't want to exert that kind of effort, even though there may be an outstanding payout at the end. But for a lot of these guys, they're not going to see it. I mean, the guys this first year, I think if they get 5 to 7 wins, I'm going to sit there going, boy, this is actually pretty damn good.
So you'd be happy with 7 wins?
I would be ecstatic with 7. Now, part of the reason I say that is I know guys in that program, and they have said, and they've been fairly open about it. It's not like this is secrets you're not going to find on the internet, because you can find anything on the internet. But I think Frost and his staff have been a little bit open about the fact that from a work ethic standpoint, a group of players that have worked hard, and an overall talent standpoint, they had more to work with at Central Florida coming off of an 0-13 season than they did when they hit the door in Lincoln back in December and January.
So it's been a kind of a whirlwind summer. They've done the Husker tour. The coaches have gone over the place. One comment that struck me during the summer tours, and I forget which assistant coach it was, they asked him about Florida, and they said, the reason they didn't go to Florida is because they wouldn't take all of us.
I remember the comment.
Yeah. How do you take that? Because I was with somebody associated with the university the other day. I said, you know, they struck me weird. I go, do you think Scott's a lifer? And he looked at me and he was kind of, I go, no, I'm serious. I go, do you think Scott's here for the next 20, 25 years? And I said, or is it a 7-8 year deal, or do you go to the NFL?
I think if Scott has a successful system, that if this works out,
yeah,
in the sense of like a pseudo Osborne-esque kind of thing, you got a guy who punches out this 800 winning percentage career, which is that's instant Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Then I think he's a lifer. I don't think he goes any place else.
Do you think if they would have taken everybody at Florida, he would have taken the Florida job? That'd have been a tough one to turn down. If you say, here's what I want.
It would have been a tough one. And
this is a better fit, by
the way. I think it's a better overall fit. But that said, I truly think that they gave it a good, hard, strong look. I know Florida offered him. I know Florida. I know Frost at least spoke seriously with Florida.
Well, you got to have a bargaining chip.
You got to keep in mind, too, they had trouble just getting, I mean, forget going to Gainesville. Yeah. They had trouble. Nebraska had trouble getting him out of Orlando.
Yeah,
it's not. I think Frost really, really thought long and hard about leaving Orlando. I think it was tough to walk away from Central Florida.
Well,
you're just building your own program. He could have stayed there. Yeah. Look at it this way. He was having Boise State level six, like Chris Peterson, Boise State level success. You're knocking off Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl. They knocked off Auburn.
But what did Chris Peterson eventually do? He took the job that was good, right? I mean, he could have had a lot of jobs.
And I agree. And he's got Washington playing the best football they've played since probably Don James, truth be told.
That's true.
And I think if Peterson stays there, Washington's going to be a very, very good team for a long time. I think Frost could have done far better at Central Florida because of the recruiting that was available to him there than Chris Peterson ever could have done at Boise. I that was a tough job to walk away from. Yeah, you had sort of this Big 8 type conference to play against, in the sense that I got to beat Memphis and South Florida, and then it's a bunch of punching bags, and then every year I'm going to go to a bowl game against somebody like Auburn, and you know what? We really are going to have good football players. We're going to have physical football players. We're going to punch them in the face, and they're not going to know how to respond, and we're going to keep knocking off the big boys, and pretty soon all of a sudden Central Florida is going to be kind of a power player down there.
I do want to tell you guys something about that's near and dear to my heart, and that's Scareway Cancer. Coming up on August 6th, that's a Monday, at the Players Club at Deer Creek. That's an Arnold Palmer designed course. It's the A United automatic doors and glass golf outing, and all the proceeds are going to benefit Scareway Cancer. I happen to be on the Scareway Cancer board. I do a lot of work for Scareway Cancer. It's $125 per person, $500 for a foursome. You get lunch, you get drinks, you get a lot of fun. I invited Rob to play. But you're not going to play.
I got to work.
Take the day off. You get like 15 weeks of vacation.
Yeah, but I don't get to pick and choose them.
So, I'd like to promise a Q&A, but we can't even do that because we don't know when you're going to get off for the day.
Well, it'd be like that morning sometime, I'd know.
Yeah, well, I think they kind of, hey, Rob Zadiska might show up to do a Q&A.
He might not.
But if you want to join us, just go to scarewaycancer.org. That's scarewaycancer.org. I'd love to have you join us. I'll be playing. Not that you know, that's a big deal or not, but I'd love it. It benefits a great cause. Speaking of a great cause, Dave Remington is now back home, Omaha, because the Remington football camp is next week. Are you helping out with that at all?
I am not. Had to work.
So are you going to miss the Shucks run?
I don't even know what the Shucks run is. Sorry. You say
you
Shucks.
You know what the Shucks run
you
is.
You say Shucks run, and I think, is that a 3K or a 5K?
No, the Shucks run would be to Shucks Restaurant, where Dave and his posse gather to eat.
And it's always the downtown Shucks. It's South O Shucks.
Yes, and it's all his buddies from South, and he lets you and I tag along every once in a while.
Dude, it's
an eating display.
It is. At the same time, it's kind of interesting because you realize that Remington's like the freaking mayor of South Omaha.
He is.
And the other, like you get like Tony Felici and some of these other guys that it's like nine, like Kelly Fineman shows up. Yep. And it is. I mean, it's literally.
But it's like the king at his throne, right?
It is.
You walk in, and Dave's at the head of the table, and you can see Dave no problem. And he's holding court, got the big smile on his face, and he's as happy as a clam.
It is. It's his peeps.
I absolutely love it. So the Remington football camp coming up, I believe it's at Millard South. It's a great event.
Yeah, find a day when I'm like coming off a call shift, so I can meet you guys for lunch.
I'll probably miss it too because next Thursday I got to go to KU for orientation. So I'll be.
Your wife knows how to drive.
Well, I know, but I can't miss my son's orientation because I'm going to live. See, my daughter went to New Orleans, right? But she went to a really small school. I went to Grandview University in Des Moines, which, is a blip on the wall on the east side.
Is that a community college?
No, it's not a community college. Nick Nurse, the now head coach of the Toronto Raptors, coached there. Not, I can tell you really
sure.
care. No, but so I get to live like the large public university life through my son now, vicariously. I don't know if this means anything to you, but he lives 700 feet from the wheel. Do you know what the wheel is? The wheel is like
somebody invented it though.
It's like one of the 30 best college bars in America. 700 feet. He can crawl home. I shouldn't be promoting that, but I'm just saying that's kind of cool.
Owen, your dad's okay with you drinking in college, buddy.
Shouldn't I be? I mean, I shouldn't. I mean, he's going to do it anyway, whether I approved of it or not. My daughter lived in New Orleans for 4 years. I know she drank all 4 years.
Yeah, but if you know your daughter.
Yeah, that's true.
She's got a head on her shoulders.
She does.
That's a bright kid. She, you know what? She's like she's the most level-headed person in your family.
Yeah, she might be. She might, because I'm not.
Just saying.
I'm the most mentally unstable one in my
family.
Of course, the Remington football camp benefits the Boomer Esiason Foundation, which in return also is a big part of the Remington Trophy presentation, which leads me into a conversation.
About O-linemen. We didn't even get done talking about like players who've left Nebraska.
Well, hold on, because I want to get into this topic.
Okay.
So it was announced, back in May that Frank Solich is going to come back to Nebraska and receive the Tom Osborne Legacy Award. Now, disclaimer, Dave Remington, if you're listening to this, you're probably not going to like the direction I'm going here. Now, I'm torn with this because I'm glad Frank's going back. You know, on Sound Off, I was.
You and Frank were a very pro-Frank
guy.
Frank
developed a relationship with me. He talked to me. I mean, and so I'm so happy that Frank is coming back. I think it's about time. I think it's the right award. I don't think it's the right place. I think this is a desperate move out of the Outland Trophy dinner, and they shouldn't call it the Outland Trophy dinner, Rob, because this has turned into a Husker event. You know what I love
about
the...
Yeah, really. I've been once. It's kind of cool, but it is a Husker event.
Yeah, so you know what I love about the Remington Trophy presentation? You go to Lincoln at the Rococo Theater. That night is about the Remington Trophy
winner. You
know
what? It is not a Husker event.
It is not.
It is not. I will give you that.
There are Huskers there, but that night, and Dave does such a great job of making that night about the Remington Trophy winner.
There's probably more NFL guys there than there are... Yeah. And, I mean, there's former Huskers who played in the NFL. But it is. It's about the Remington Trophy. Yeah. It's now, about the Gerald R. Ford winner.
Now,
whoever's the keynote speaker, it's about them.
Cystic fibrosis.
It is. That might be the most un-Husker event
that takes place in the middle.
In Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah. Now, what bothers me is that...
Which, by the way, if you like pro football, college football, and want autographs, go buy some freaking tickets because it's a blast.
So you have the Outland Trophy one in Omaha, which, you know, I don't know if they don't get a big response from it, but it started off like, okay, it's going to be the Outland Trophy. And then a couple years later, it's the Outland Trophy, and we're going to give away the Husker Awards, you know, the Guy Chamberlain Award.
Yep.
And now we're doing the Tom Osborne Legacy Award. So the poor guy who wins the Outland Trophy is going to come to Omaha.
Is almost... Secondhand.
He's not even secondhand.
Yeah.
He's like the opening act at a comedy club.
Well,
am I wrong?
I've only been 1 year.
Okay, but if you got Frank Solich there?
It was a blast. It was a good time. I'm blanking on his name. Big tackle from Alabama. They just lost to Clemson literally the month before in the national title game. But the thing that made it really interesting, the reason I went, is because Barry Switzer was the keynote speaker.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what they
I'm
do.
I'm like, oh my God, I freaking love Barry Switzer. Let's go. So there was a group of us buddies who all went.
But you only went for Barry Switzer. You didn't go for the Outland Trophy winner.
Yeah, that was total secondhand.
Yeah.
Mario Cristobal, who's now the head coach at Oregon, was actually one of the... honorees and was a speaker there that night. This was not the coach at Oregon yet at the time, but I actually played against him in college. He was on the Miami team when we lost to Miami in the national title game after the 91 season. So I went there and had a chance to talk with him a bit, and that was kind of cool because it's a guy that we had played against each other. But seeing Cristobal and having a chance to meet Barry Switzer, which I did, that was the reason I went.
Yeah. But see, I guess my point is, if I'm the Outland Trophy Foundation, I'm going, why do we have this event in Omaha? Sure, it sells out, but you're only selling out now because you're just throwing a bunch of Husker fans in it, which is fine. I'm not saying you could probably have a separate Husker banquet in Omaha and just do the awards and the Osborne Legacy Award, and you're going to fill up the place.
Probably true.
I'm just saying that's what I like about what Dave does. Dave runs a first-class event in a first-class venue, and he makes the event exactly what you're there for, and that's the Remington Trophy presentation.
So Solich.
So I'm so happy Frank's coming back. This made me happy because it needed to happen.
I like it. I don't know if it's that big of a deal, though.
Well, I think it is because I don't think he's been back.
He's been back, but it hasn't been
yeah,
much.
It's under the radar.
It is. The thing is, though, too.
He needs the standing ovation. He needs to know that he was appreciated. I really believe that.
I think he knows that.
I don't know. There's still some bastards on there on Twitter and Facebook and everywhere
else. Well, that's true, but you're 20 years. Dude, it's 20 years
later. I know it is.
That's what's scary. But he's a guy that I think he's coaching, he's kicking ass, he's taking names at Ohio.
Well, I mean, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
You're right. Okay,
dude,
okay,
who else has gone into that place and won as many games as he has?
Who was the old... Jim Grobe did. Who was the former Wake Forest coach?
Yeah.
He was at Ohio before he went to Wake Forest, but he didn't have the success that Frank did.
No,
the 1 or 2 years got the hell out of Dodge because it's hard to win in Athens, Ohio.
It was. Frank has stayed there, and he has won very consistently. He's done what nobody's been able to do in that place. I mean, honestly, that's like the Lawrence, Kansas of Ohio. Football. It's the one place nobody can win.
Now, Mark Mangino won at KU.
Yeah, like 3 years.
Glenn Mason won.
Glenn, if he had stayed there, I think could have really built something. The moment Glenn Mason did that, the moment he pulled a Dana Altman and did the whole like, hey, I'm going to go to Georgia. Oh my God, there's Southerners here. What?
And
I'm
was
getting the hell out, turned around and came right back and 2 weeks later.
I remember sitting in the locker room at KU when the only time Bill Callahan showed any emotion is after he got his ass kicked by a Mark Mangino team, and to say, for a Nebraska team to play like this is just god-awful. Just god-awful. I remember like it was yesterday.
Well, he did the whole throat slash thing at Oklahoma. That's emotion. I mean, you're kind of pissed off.
Yeah, I know.
Mangino had, if you think about it, though, what was that quarterback's name?
Oh, God, I forget. I think he's – I totally forget who it was.
Because you had – it was Tim Beck and
Beck was
it was it was Herman and Beck. Tom Herman and Tim Beck were his offensive coordinators. Todd Reesing.
Yep.
So you had Todd Reesing at quarterback. And you can vouch, I didn't Google that.
No, you did not.
But
that rupture beer kicking in.
Exactly. Finally, get enough beer in me, I can think. But you had Herman and Beck as the coordinators. You had Reesing at quarterback. They had literally maybe 2.5 seasons worth of good success under Mangino, who to this day, I got to be honest with you, I am flabbergasted that that guy hasn't keeled over from a massive heart attack.
He was on Twitter the other day going off on KU for not putting two of his players in the Ring of Honor. He goes, again, KU screws up. They left out these two guys. I love his Twitter handle, though. It's Keep Sawing Wood. that's a good Twitter handle.
I'm going to go follow Mark Mangino.
You should. It's pretty good.
That dude can eat food.
Yes. Could you imagine him at Shucks with Dave?
Oh, my God. He might eat Dave accidentally.
You're probably
Dave's
right.
Dave's not small.
I took Owen to Shucks downtown.
Tony Felici, he'd definitely eat Tony.
Yes. Kelly, he'd eat Kelly.
Yeah, Kelly's kind of tough. He's a Bellevue kid.
Yeah, that's true.
Dad's a coach. That ain't going to happen.
I took my son down to that Shucks the other day. Owen turned 19 today, so he's out partying right now. But I go, what do you want for your birthday? And you'd like this, Rob. He goes, it'd
be great if he was in Florida. He could drink like 3-2 beer now, maybe. Something.
But my 19-year-old son, I go, what do you want for your birthday? He goes, dozen and a half shell. I'm like, all right, let's go.
Only a dozen?
Well,
it's kind of sad.
But then he got a po' boy on top of that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But see, we didn't go there during happy hour. So, you know me, I'm pretty cheap.
What?
I'm cheap.
The fact that you admit it almost kind of blows my mind.
I have no problem admitting that I'm cheap. None whatsoever.
So
I don't make the kind of money you make.
So, dude, I drive like a 2008 Jeep with 100,000 miles
yes,
on it.
Yes, but you also get 16 weeks of vacation and like make $2 million a year.
Okay, my vacation and my salary like keep growing every time you mention it.
You know what's funny? On my radio show the other day, if somebody asked you to play flag football, would you do it?
No.
So do you know who Seneca Wallace is?
Yeah.
Okay, so I had
hell of a QB.
So I had Seneca. He's 37. So I had Seneca on my
radio. Hold on. Seneca Wallace is 37.
So I had Seneca Wallace on my radio show the other day, and he's playing in that. It's on the NFL Network. It's the AAFL. It's the Flag Football League. So they're playing. They've got like three teams of professional players, and at the end of it, they're going to play like the Joes, which are like they've been together for like 12 years. I go, are you getting paid for this? He goes, yeah, kinda. I go, what? He goes, well, if you win a game, the 12 players split $250,000. I go, you got $20,000 to play flag football?
He goes, I might go out for $20,000.
He goes, and if we get to the championship game and win, we split $1 million. I'm like, wow.
Okay, I'd play flag football for that.
So
I thought you were talking about
I'm talking like
my neighbor buddy comes over and is like, hey, we've got a charity flag football game. We're going to try and raise $175 for such and such. Would you want to come out? I'd be like, no, sounds like a good way to end up as a patient of myself.
No, like Chad Ochocinco is part of this league. I mean, they've got
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I think that the next game is Thursday the 12th, so that you may or may not, it may be past that, but it's going to be on the NFL Network. They're going to be in Indianapolis.
That is nuts.
Yeah. So one of the big things that happened since the last time we talked was the Supreme Court ruling that said, listen, you can have legalized gambling, and now you can have sports gambling. If you have gambling in your state, you can put up a sports book if you approve it. Now, you know, the it's interesting to see the reactions of this. And I think it's a little bit hypocritical for baseball and maybe basketball, especially since they're so involved with fantasy, because fantasy is gambling. I don't care what anybody says.
Basically, yeah.
But to go, oh my God, this is going to ruin, it's going to ruin the integrity of the sport.
Because people aren't betting on it already.
That's what's funny, is that I think I saw a number of this, like $5 billion a year underground betting. No, what you're going to have now is people can do it legally and not have fear of losing their limbs, of having their bookie come after them. I mean, do you think betting on sports compromises the integrity of the game?
Not really.
No.
I have actually had even family members ask me about this. When I was playing at Nebraska, they would talk about, hey, do you think people are like trying to influence the outcome of this game from a gambling standpoint? It always kind of surprised me. No, absolutely not. And I remember we'd go to team dinners, and I've had people ask me, well, what if somebody like tries to put food poison in like just your team's food? Yeah. I'm like, okay, it's one buffet line. Both teams are going through. I mean, it's pretty safe. I think I'm okay with it.
Plus, you probably had more interactions, not that you were supposed to, with prospective agents trying to get to you more than the gambler, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, I would doubt. I can't say I ever had an interaction with somebody from a gambling standpoint. I'd like to think I've got a little. Well, other than when it comes to drinking beer.
Are you three in already?
Yeah.
Can you throw me one?
Dude, I was wondering when you're asked for another one. You got a LaCroix over there next to your beer.
Yeah. Well, I was waiting for you. Somebody was an hour late for this.
Sorry.
Where were we? Oh, betting.
Never got approached by it. I mean, I remember most of my senior year in college, you had agents contacting you. And everybody tried to do kind of the whole pseudo within the rules thing. Like, hey, I'm not asking you to sign with me. We're just talking.
Yeah.
Kind of deal.
Can I be your family advisor?
Exactly. So you had that stuff going on your entire senior year in college. So that has gone on and will continue to go on. Now,
of course, you can't gamble in the state of Nebraska. Oh, sorry. You can go to a Keno parlor, great odds there, and you can play the lottery. But
which is gambling.
Keno is the worst freaking game on the face of the earth. It is your worst odds. Okay, but let's say Council Bluffs. Let's say Ameristar. Let's say Harrah's. Let's say the Horseshoe decides to put in a sports book. I would go to that. And let me tell you why. I don't gamble. I don't. Because I don't like losing money that quickly. Because I would lose. Sorry, I just belched. I would lose money at the crap table. I'd lose money at roulette. I'd lose money at blackjack. If I can go, I know my odds probably aren't any better betting football or basketball. But at least I can put $20 down. I can do a three-teamer, and I can just sit back and watch. If I lose,
it kind of makes it fun.
Yeah, but I think I'd know a little bit more about the sport than I do playing cards or having
I'll
playing
give
Texas.
You that.
Yeah,
if I did it, it's purely for fun. I mean, I've gone to like family functions where I'm not a big NASCAR fan, but let's say there's a NASCAR race on.
Yeah,
we've done it where everybody picks a driver. Throws $5 into the hat, and whoever's driver wins the pot. And it kind of makes it fun. Delicious beer. I mean, that stuff like that kind of makes it fun. It's entertainment value.
Yeah.
It gives you a stake in the outcome. And for me, if that's, $5 here, $20 there, I'm okay with it, although I don't think I've ever, I got to be honest, other than, like I said, the occasional family thing.
Yeah.
And hey, let's all bet on the Kentucky Derby. Everybody pick a horse and put $5 down. Outside of that, I've never gambled on sports.
Really? Ever?
Never have. Might be. It, you know what? Gambling's one of those things that I've just never had.
You're not morally opposed to it, though, are you?
Not at all.
Okay.
Oh, I'm all for it.
Okay. Now, are you?
Yeah, let's do illegally and tax the shit out of it.
Okay, I don't mind taxing it, but what I do have a problem is the NFL, Major League Baseball, and the NCAA lining up in Congress saying, well, hold on, if you're going to do this, give us our fair share. You're going to be making money. You're going to be profiting off us. We deserve money that. No.
Yeah, it's not their cut.
I mean, it's not their cut. You don't get a part of the juice. Yeah. I mean, it's been going on in Las Vegas for how long?
That's the thing that then I start wondering, okay, is somebody pulling strings behind the curtain in terms of who wins and loses?
Yes.
Yeah, when money starts going to the leagues, going to the teams.
I never thought of it like that. That's a good point.
That's where I start wondering about, okay, now there's a vested interest in certain outcomes.
That, you know what? I never thought of it like that.
That's where I would worry about it. So, yeah, if the NCAA is sitting there going, hey, we want our cut, I'm sitting there going, okay, I know you guys are kind of freaking crooked to begin with and shady characters on top of that. I guess that's one and the same. But the moment the NCAA says, no, we want our cut from legalized gambling, that's when I sit there going, okay, there are now stakes on certain outcomes.
Because of where the money's going, right?
It is. That's when you're watching Bo Pelini playing Texas in the Big 12 title game, and Ndamukong Suh is basically making Texas' offensive line his own little personal bitch. He's tossing Colt. I mean, he's not sacking Colt McCoy. He's throwing him like 7 yards through the air across the field. And the game comes down to Nebraska winning, and the referee's putting a quarter of a second back on the clock so Texas can kick a game-winning field goal. If there was gambling money, if there was legalized gambling money on that game and the NCAA had a cut in it, if the Big 12 Conference had a cut in it, in the outcome of this game and...
Because Nebraska, how do you take the cut? I mean, I don't
know. In Nebraska knocking Texas out of a national title game and potential TV revenue and even more potential gambling revenue, everybody's looking at it going, okay, the referees got told through some secret microphone to make this call because gambling money is riding on this and the NCAA wants their cut.
Yeah, because I'd say if the NCAA, the NFL, the NBA is saying, you're making money, real or not. Yeah, but they're
if
saying,
they're getting a cut from gambling, that all of a sudden it's going to turn into pro wrestling.
Because
all of a sudden you're sitting there going, okay, what would make this particular league the most money if there is a questionable call, questionable decision, questionable play at the end of a game, and it goes in the favor of a decision that looks like the whatever league we're talking about, NFL, NBA, NCAA, makes them more money from a gambling revenue standpoint, you're going to lose fans because fans are going to sit there going like, huh, it's fixed, done.
And I know there's somebody going, oh, you two are dumb, because I know you're thinking that the NBA or the leagues are going to get a cut of every bet that is made. I don't think that's going to happen. You have to do it on the profits of the casino. So the casino stands to win when the team that doesn't have all the money on it
wins.
And so if there's a vest, I see what you're saying. If there's a vested interest in going, well, there's a lot of money to be made.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying is wherever there's a vested interest, if that vested interest wins, then I think people are going it's going to be conspiracy theory city after that.
Listen, I think Vegas and Scott Spreitzer, who's an Omaha guy, lives in Vegas, is a professional handicapper. He'll tell you it's all, everything in Vegas is on the up and up, and I believe that. I mean, you're always going to have something, right?
But that's, you know, that's the point I'm trying to make is that the moment any gambler finds out something's not on the up and up, the people who make their living on gambling are going to, they're going to lose everything.
Yeah.
Because every gambler is going to go, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. All of this shit is fixed. Screw that. I'm out.
Hmm.
As soon as every gambler, if there's even a concern that it's fixed, the powers that be are going to lose tons of money. So I wholeheartedly agree. I'm sure there's probably some backroom deals in Vegas, but I think the vast majority of it's on the up and up, because the moment it's not on the up and up and gamblers find out about it, they quit gambling.
Yeah. I mean, I would rather bet from a casino that's legal than go to my bookie, and if I get behind, have my legs broken. Now, I will say this. If I had to do college all over again, last time I bet was really in college, I'd have taken out like a 15.
You'd go be a bookie?
No, I'd book. I mean, how many people on your floors did you know that booked?
Gambling was just not my thing. Yeah, so
I
don't know.
Did you know anybody? I did. No, my entire floor was bookie.
I knew guys who, I know guys who did it.
I mean, my son was booking at prep for a little bit.
You probably shouldn't talk about that, Travis.
Okay, sorry. Owen, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you should. There's something.
I pick up a notebook when it's like 26, 37. I'm like, holy crap.
Trev, there's some stuff that you're not supposed to talk about,
okay,
buddy.
Okay, sorry.
Just saying.
He's graduated now, right?
Owen, so how did you get your kneecap smashed with the lead pipe?
No, he was the bookie.
I know. I got to be honest with you. If I really wanted to do nothing other than make money to make money, like, what's your job? I make money. How do you do that? By making money. Get into gambling.
Yeah, well,
get into legal gambling.
Spritzer told me all you have to do to make a healthy living in Las Vegas is win 53.5% of the time, and you make a lot of money.
Which I bet, I bet the top guys, that's top guys.
Yeah, that's top guys.
Yeah.
And think about that, 53%. I mean, think about it, in baseball, what, if you're hitting 300, you're a star, you're an all-star.
Yeah, in gambling, you just got to be better than 50%.
Yeah. And you'll
that means you're winning more than you're losing.
Yeah,
so
that's very true.
Are we even talking about like Nebraska football players leaving the program?
What? Who else left besides the Titans?
Michael Decker did.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Dude, his redshirt year, he was the best O lineman on the team.
What are your thoughts on it?
I was saddened by it. I was a big Michael Decker fan. I think he had legitimate reasons for leaving, at least within the scope of his thoughts and belief system. Coming off a bad knee injury, highly, highly intelligent guy. I think he was worried about injuries. I think he was worried about CTE. I know that was a concern of his.
I mean, football numbers are down all across the country at the youth level.
They are.
I mean, is it going to be hard to recruit guys? I always say that everybody's like, football is going to die. No, it's not. And let me tell you why. Because... And I have no problem, and I've said this before. I don't know how you feel. You have a son going into high school, right?
He'll be a freshman this fall.
I don't think you need to play tackle football until you're in seventh grade anyway.
That was actually when we started. That's when my son started. That's when I started.
I see all these guys playing in fourth grade. I'm like, you don't need to be playing tackle football in fourth grade.
No, that I agree. Although football is also one of the few sports that I think a kid can get into a little bit later in the game.
Yeah.
Almost any other sport. Baseball is kind of the classic one, but baseball, basketball, volleyball, softball. If you haven't been playing for a few years, all of a sudden you're kind of those fundamentals, that skill set. If that's not developed, you've got no chance of playing in high school.
You know, one of the best conversations I have, I know this can drive Husker fans nuts, was with Bo Pelini. And we were doing a 2-hour pregame show before the Gator Bowl. And so we were down in Lincoln, and we were like, Keith Mann was like, hey, okay, you guys got like 20 minutes with him, right? Well, he stuck around for like an hour, and we just had this conversation. We got talking about football. And he swore that, he goes, I don't need a kid to play till he's in high school. He goes, it's one of this, just what you said. He goes, if he doesn't play tackle football until high school, I don't worry about it, because I can still, whether it's blocking, running, I can teach him those things. He doesn't need to experience tackle football until then. I was shocked that he said that, but that stuck with
me. It's one of the few sports that's like that. There's not a lot.
Yeah.
If you
can't do it in basketball. You can't do it in wrestling.
If you've got even a tiny bit of athletic ability, football is the one sport you can move into with very little experience and still be very successful.
So you talked about Decker. So you're always going to have attrition when you have a new coach, right? I mean, that's. Do you think we see more in the fall, or does it happen again after the season?
I think you'll see a little bit in the fall. I think you'll probably see more in the fall because I think it's spring football is one thing, but it's hard to get a good picture of how things are going to be during spring football. I think when fall practice starts, I think guys are going to do the holy crap, this is how it's going to be here on out, day in, day out. That's where you get the day in, day out from it. I think you lose a few guys in the spring, but I think it's after the season. But I think that's a case of where you always lose a handful of guys after the season because it's guys who are sitting there going, holy crap, I didn't play this year. I just don't see myself moving up the roster at all. And there you go.
So he's got 83 on scholarship right now because the two guys left. Do you give those scholarships to some of those walk-ons that maybe were preferred, or do you give it to a non-scholarship senior? That way you know you're going to have those two on the back end for next year.
That's a good question.
I'm not dumb.
I think you find the walk-ons that have been performing, or...
Because if you give a scholarship, they're guaranteed 4 years now.
Yeah. You either give it, do the walk-on thing, or you find a couple of guys who, some other recruits that were maybe just a little bit outside of that margin of what you were looking for.
Yeah, I mean, there's some choices to be made, but we do know this. Big Ten Media Day is just a couple of weeks away. And then, starting about the 1st of August, it's a weekly occurrence.
You and I are going to drink beer weekly.
Are you ready for that?
Oh, my God. I've been getting my liver so ready.
I want to thank Husker Max. The HuskerMax.com is the official distributor of the Husker Doc Talk podcast. Many, many people to thank, including the Remington Trophy, the official presenting sponsor of the Husker Doc Talk podcast. Ticket Express, Chad, good to have you along. Husker Hound, Scotty, you're our man. We'll have to get you back
Scott,
in.
Scott's a good man.
He gets so emotional.
Scott does what he does because he loves Nebraska sports.
And Infusion Brewing Company, great to have you guys back on board.
And I do what I do because I love Infusion beer.
That's right. We're going to try to get a Doc Talk brew. We'll be more on that to come. But again, starting in a couple weeks, we're going to be in the studio on a weekly occurrence. The summer's over. It's time to get busy. It's time to do the Husker Doc Talk podcast on a regular basis. For Dr. Rob Zadiska, make sure to follow him on Twitter at Doc Talk Sports. I'm Travis Justice. We'll talk to you next time on the Husker Doc Talk podcast presented by the Remington Trophy.